If a man don't have himself together by the time he gets 50, you want to look for somebody else. I'm going to just tell you that right off. I don't care how cute he is. So I told my daughters, we don't do Dutch when you go out. You don't going out Dutch. When some guy want to take you out, if he can't afford to feed you, don't go with him. Don't go Dutch even if you want to. Just make him pay. I'm kind of in between jobs right now. Well, if he's in between jobs, you ought to be in between phone numbers.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World. If you are a man, I want you to pay close attention to these messages. After the broadcast, be sure to stay tuned for some exciting things that we have coming up this weekend. In fact, it's not just for men, it's for the whole family. After this message today, we're going to share with you how you can come and be a part of what we're doing right here, where your whole family can have a blessed time. Now come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
But sometimes you have a husband and wife, they're both unsaved. And the wife gets saved. And then she wonder, why? What's wrong with her husband? Nothing's wrong with him. He was what you had when you got him. He didn't change, you changed. So you shouldn't go back and just try to beat him all up over the head because of his life and lifestyle. And you have to think about this. Now, you all used to go out together and go to the club or go dancing and go partying and doing all that stuff like that. Now, you don't do that no more if you go to the Light of the World. You used to drink right along with him. Y'all used to start taking shots together. But now you don't do that. Or do you? Y'all used to do all that stuff together. Now, not only did you got saved, he kind of lost his partner that used to go out and do things with him like that. He's grieving. He's lost you. Okay? And then some of y'all get so holy, you don't want to make love no more hardly. Well, let me go to the next point I had here. Peter's point here is that the wife's godly behavior is the most valuable testimony to open the husband's heart to the gospel. Your godly behavior. Because you know what? Our family members know more about our godly behavior or ungodly behavior than anybody. All he's going to do is start talking about you now. Now you act like you're such a Christian. Now you come here and you act like this. You still cussing me out. You won't cook. You fussing all the time. What you learning up there at that church? He's not going to want what you've got if that's the way it is. How a believer lives in their most intimate relationships help make the grace of God believable. A lovely, gracious, submissive attitude is the most effective evangelistic tool believing wives have. So he says, secondly, by observing the purity and the reverence of a life. When you see the purity and the reverence of your life change and you're holy, you're pure, you're gentle, and the fruit of the Spirit has been produced in your life. So your husband will become your greatest critic if your lifestyle is not consistent with your profession of faith. Look at what Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so no one will malign the word of God. Teach these women so that they'll know how to function, so that their family can be blessed, their children can be blessed, their husband can be blessed, and that the word of God is not maligned. The older women ought to teach the younger women. Hopefully we're there, but we got to teach the older women because they're acting up too. So the younger women are acting like the older women a lot of times. Honey, you don't have to take that off of them. You don't have to take that. You ain't got to take that. You ain't got to take that. You can get you another place. You can live somewhere else. You ain't got to live there. And don't let somebody who don't have no husband talk you out of yours. They don't have no husband. They tell you, you ain't got to stay there, honey. You ain't got to stay. Ask him if you can move in with them. By observing your inward beauty, verse 3 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, hair from India, the wearing of gold jewelry, extensions. Peter must have been over there off of Southwest Freeway. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, he's not telling you not to look good. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. But he says that shouldn't be the only place where your beauty comes from. Okay, go on, get the false eyelashes. And draw you some eyebrows in there. Just put them on there where they stay. Just get you some hair. No problem. Everybody ought to have some hair. He doesn't have a problem with that. And whatever color you want to have it in. Now, there was an old guy said one time, he went out on a date, came back to the house, and the woman he was with pulled off the wig and put it on the couch. She pulled off her breast and put it on the couch. Pulled off her hips and put it on the couch. She went, got in the bed, and he went, got on the couch. Now, this text does not prohibit wives from styling their hair or wearing jewelry or nice clothes. Some churches will use that text and say, you can't wear that kind of thing. But that's not what he's talking about. Peter was referring to, however, in that Greco-Roman culture, women were devoted to superficial adornment. They were wearing the best cosmetics. They were dyeing their hair various colors, elaborate braiding, wearing costly jewelry, none of which contributed to their spiritual transformation. And he was looking at that. He says, that ought not be the only thing that you use to adorn yourself, to be beautiful. You need to have an inward beauty. You need to have a gentle heart, a gentle spirit, the right spirit, if you're going to win your husband over to the Lord. He said, let all you are and all you do reflect the relationship you have with Christ. Paul gives a warning. He gives several warnings on copying every worldly fashion and fad. Some are not becoming of Christians. Some of the things you see are not becoming of believers. Just because the world has it as a fashion, it may not be becoming of a believer. He tells us to dress modestly. Inequalities or the hidden man of the heart should be the overriding influence coming from the wife. This is what Peter is teaching. Then he gives examples of how this submission to husbands worked in the past, referring primarily to Sarah as she submitted herself to Abraham. He says, for this is the way holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. There's something that stuck out to me when I read that verse. It says, the holy women who put their hope in God. He says, God, you have to work some of these things out. I can't work all these things out in my life. I can't make my husband. I can't make my spouse. And even if there's a man who has a spouse who maybe is not following the Lord, you can't make them live right. You can't control somebody else, but you can put your hope in God for God to work in their lives. Put your hope in God. And when we put our hope in God, God will give us the strategy. God will give us the words. God will tell us when to be quiet and when to speak and how to speak and how to respond in these situations. And let God work in their lives. Let God work in the other person's life. We were visiting with the pastor here a few weeks ago, and he was telling about one of the members of his church that he was in his 70s, maybe late 70s. His wife had been saved for a long time, and he was a rebel rouser and somewhat abusive, and people encouraged her to leave him, but she never did leave him. And this testimony was that he woke up in the middle of the night and said the Spirit of God spoke to him and he made a profession of faith right there and had a dramatic change right there in the middle of the night, got saved, gave his life to the Lord, and they said the transformation was so amazing that everybody in the church knew that God had came into his life. It took a while. But the Spirit of God, when nobody else talking to him, nobody else was there, nobody was speaking to him, telling him he needed to straighten his life out, the Spirit of God came in that room and touched that man and saved that man. The Spirit of God is the one that saved. The power of God is the one that saved. Not us. We can't save them. But you talk to God before you talk to them. You go to God and say, Lord, my hope is in you for my marriage. My hope is in you for this man. And some of us have unsaved children. Father, our hope is in you. My mother said she prayed for me for 17 years, but I came to the Lord. You may not see the difference. You may not see the incremental change in their lives as you're looking at them, but God may be working on them on the inside. He said, for this is the way the holy women in the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husband. Now, you don't have to be submissive to other men. It's not women be submissive to every man. He didn't say that. You be submissive to your own husband. They were submissive to their own husband like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. I know that's hard. We don't want to do that. We ain't calling nobody no master. You don't own me. I don't belong to you. Can't tell me what to do. Okay. Do what you want to do. The Lord is saying, if you want some change in your family, I'm just telling you how to do this. These are kingdom of God principles. We operate by another principle in the kingdom of God. Jesus did that. He humbled himself even to the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He didn't have to, but he did. He said, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give away to fear. Let's end this. And Peter ended the message to the wives with a strong word of encouragement. You are her daughters if you do what is right and don't give away to fear. You will resemble Sarah in respect to the honor she received from her husband. Abraham honored her. And as long as you're doing what is good, as long as you're doing what is right, you never have to be afraid of any uncertain terror, anguish from an unbelieving husband. God steps in and shows himself strong on your behalf. When you do what God has asked you to do, God steps in.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this message as we have begun a series to speak to the heart of men. And we began by sharing with you from the scriptures what God says to the husband and to the wives in their relationship one with another. If you would like to hear today's message in its entirety, you can do so by going to our website at lowcf.org. I am inviting every man or every male to come and be our guest on this Sunday, February 11th. I know the country is getting ready for the big Super Bowl game, but we're going to have a football Sunday where we're going to share the message and the love of Jesus Christ in the context of football. I want you to come. If you have played football in middle school, high school, college, or professional, I want you to be my guest. We're going to pray for you whether you've played in the past or you're playing currently. Join us and we're going to ask God's blessings and goodness and favor over you. Wear your favorite team jersey and then stay around after service and we're going to have a tailgate out in our parking lot. There will be food, fun, and fellowship. It will be no cost to you. I want you to join us this Sunday, February 11th at 10 a.m. We're at 16161 Old Humble Road. Come on out and be my guest. You will not regret it. God has something in store for you. Now let me mention that the Beacon Bookstore is right here on our campus at the Light of the World. If you need Sunday school supplies, communion supplies, books, Bibles, and any kind of resource, you can call the Beacon at 281-441-2885. 281-441-2885. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.